Randstad India Talent Pod, leading the human forward way.
Welcome, and welcome again. It's a brand new season, a brand new phase of Randstad India Talent Pod. I am Neerja, your host, and I am back in action. So excited to be here because this time the theme is diversity. Now, this is a word that we hear a lot these days, and it's a word that carries a lot of weight because there really is nothing more important than diversity and inclusion, making people feel like they belong. And this is where Randstad leads by example. Now, as you may already know, this podcast is a wonderful way to connect with you and give you exciting updates and engaging in important conversations from the world of recruitment, hiring and placements. And like I said, on this second edition of the Randstad India Talent Pod, the focus is on diversity, inclusion and belonging.
All things D&I.
Randstad India Talent Pod is back, and I have a very, very special guest on the show today. Let me give you a quick introduction. We have Robin, who leads the diversity and inclusion agenda for Randstad India. Now, Robin is truly a change catalyst in every sense of the word. He is a TEDx speaker, writer, and a gender visionary. And I say he, but they identify as non-binary and uses he, she, and they pronouns, something to definitely keep in mind. Robin, hello, welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you so much, Neerja. Lovely to have myself here, really.
Yeah, we're really excited to get straight into this conversation because there's so much talk around it. And I think you are probably one of the best people to answer these questions for us. Gender, you know, as a term, as a concept, is so layered. And there's so much to be unlearned in the process of understanding it now, right? What do you think is the best approach to gain more knowledge on the topic and also embrace the idea of gender fluidity?
Well, I think in order to just understanding this idea of gender fluidity, I think people and their experiences play a very, very important and vital role. But when it comes to embracing this idea, I think people just have to be more open to, you know, unlearning the concepts that they've learned in their very, very patriarchal, heteronormative conditioning and just stay open to the new ideas of the world, you know, as they're emerging. So I think that's what my take is here.
That's really going down to the basics, and just having that open-mindedness to understand is really where it all begins. How do you think seeing LGBTQIA plus role models is going to help shape the future of companies, right? And in turn, how can companies actively make this happen?
So I'll go back to the beginning, you know, the beginning of the beginning. When I was a young kid, I was mostly isolated and I didn't know what to do. Where do I see myself? Because I had no role models. I did not see people like myself around me. I'm talking about the 90s, you know. Back then, of course, the West had moved forward. They had gay characters in their web series and movies and, you know, cinema. But India was not that progressive back then. We were just stuck to our regular patriarchal conditioning, and we did not want to open up ourselves to the new ideas of people's identities and their sense of self. So it was traumatizing and isolating for me, you know, not to see people like myself around me. But I think now that I'm a grown-up person and I work in the corporate, I see a few people, and that is only because of the audacity of those people to actually be their true selves in the outside world. So I really applaud the audacity of the people who actually embrace their gender identity and their authentic selves in order to be who they are in this mainstream society, knowing the fact that they will constantly be abused for who they are. They will constantly be questioned and they will be constantly asked to fit into the gender binary of this mainstream society. But the change that these LGBTQIA role models will bring to the companies is, I think, something very self-explanatory because, you know, like I said, we did not get these role models. Like all the women have had Indira Gandhi when they were growing up. All the men had their role models when they were growing up. But what about the LGBTQI community? We were isolated. We were asked to pick a corner because clearly we did not fit into their concept of the gender identities that they thought were right, their yeah. spectrum of gender binary, which was just male and female. So that's that.
That just makes them stronger role models, because you see what they've been through and you see how far they've come. And I think that is inspiring to not just, you know, fellow LGBTQIA plus members, but everybody all over. Now, we've just wrapped up Transgender Awareness Week, Rovin, and we're now kickstarting IDPD Week, right? So what would you say is the significance of all of these, you know, observances, given that we're navigating through this time where we're talking about self-identity, inclusion? What are your thoughts on this?
So the communities that you just mentioned, Neerja, the people with disabilities community and the transgender communities, these are marginalized communities. These are communities that have been excluded systemically from the mainstream society. And these observances and, you know, weeks are very important because it gives us as a mainstream society an opportunity to actually dive deep into the history of their struggles and lived experiences, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's very, very important that we do these observances and these very important weeks. At the same time, at Randstad, we had done something very exciting for the Transgender Awareness Week, because a lot of people actually neglect and ignore the lives of the transgender community intentionally because they've been scared of this community, you know. But what we did was to educate and aware the Randstad audience about this transgender community through educational mailers. And we included content such as transphobia and what were the statistics in, say, last year, you know. And we included terms that are most acceptable right now, terms such as shemales, terms such as transvestites. These are very outdated terminologies that are not considered respectful. Yeah. We also sort of covered the transgender umbrella that covers drag queens, non-binary people, gender-confirming, genderqueer people. So that's something that we covered. And for the upcoming IDPD week, which is something that we're very, very excited about, we have two main events that we're doing. One is a sign language workshop that we want everyone at Randstad to be part of. Alongside that, we will also have a town hall to start a dialogue around accessibility at Randstad India, which has been shelved for a really long time. I think it's time that we start a conversation around assistive technology and accessibility for people with disabilities and an inclusive world for the LGBTQI population, because we need to realize that, you know, this world was primarily designed only for the mainstream society and not for these excluded communities that we are now intentionally trying to include in the mainstream society in the future.
Very well said, Rovin. And designs can change. And I think it's about time. Rovin, you know, what we really do want to find out about is you as a person and what you love to experience and what you love to do. And we hear that you are somebody who practices drag as a form of art, which is so interesting. What can you tell us about it? Can you give us a little sneak peek into your world and maybe tell us how an experience like this can help you rediscover yourself, if anything?
So drag as a concept is huge, and it's really popular in the West. It is popular in India as well. It's just that people don't realize it. So if you know that Sita in the Ram Leelas, if you've mm-hmm. seen one of them during your childhood, it was always a man.
Yeah.
Don't you think that was drag? Also, the characters on these comedy nights with Kapil, the Guthi character, or the other people, other especially men, you know, who were clad in women's clothing and performing as a character. What is that? That is drag as well. But I think the problem is that India does not want to recognize a westernized terminology, you know, for something that they've been doing, and they do not want to put a label to it, nor do they want to acknowledge, because it is strictly against their concept of, you know, the regular mainstream patriarchal world. And that is why they've been against it. The world of drag for me has been an eye-opening world. It has been only about rediscovering myself. I still remember the first time when I was asked to perform drag. And I was a trainer, I was an educator at heart. When I was first asked to perform, I said no to it, because I always saw myself, like I said, as an educator and a trainer and, you know, somebody like that. And somebody very poised, you know. But what made me do this was the empowerment and the upliftment that I wanted to give to my community and the visibility that I wanted to give to my community. And that is how I came up with my drag name, which is Rowena Tampon. So mm-hmm. Robin became Rowena, and Tampon is something that I picked up just to give visibility to the menstrual hygiene of women in India, because back then in 2017, I think people were still wrapping sanitary napkins in black polythene bags, you know, and they didn't know why they were doing it. And by putting this, word tampon to my name, I really sort of gave visibility to the menstrual hygiene of women, because every time I'm performing on the stage, people would shout out my name and unknowingly they'll say tampon.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the Robin side of things. I would love to see the Rowena tampon side of things as well at some point. Just to bring this whole thing full circle, you know, for anyone that may be curious about transitioning or maybe needs a little bit of help navigating through their own identity, what are some tips you can give them to start them off on the right track?
So, Nisha, I feel be it transitioning or navigating through identities, there are no tips, you know. People have their own journeys of discovering themselves and rediscovering themselves. So there are no tips, really. But I think a lot of people have reached out to me for this, you know, and have asked me this question in the past during my activism years and through my corporate journey. But I think the only thing that I have been telling them is that people lack introspection clearly. And introspection is something that we all need to realize is imperative, especially when it comes to exploring our own selves and to ensure that we are true to our authentic selves, you know. And we are not delusioned by the ideas of this heteronormative society that we live in, because the conditioning that we actually get from our parents actually affects our vision of seeing ourselves, you know. So I think that needs to change. Unlearning and learning needs to happen. Introspection needs to happen. And that is the only solution to understanding your own self, I feel, Nuja.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. There's no right way to do it, but introspection is certainly the best place to start. It was really, really lovely speaking with you and picking your brain on this. Of course, there's a long way to go, but the fact that Randstad is sort of taking this step forward and making sure that they practice what they preach, I think is so important to set an example. So thank you, Robin, for sharing your experience with us. It was lovely speaking with you.
Thank you for having me, Nisha.
The Diversity Lexicon.
If there's anything this episode has taught us, it's that we are allies. We're here to make sure that the members of the LGBTQIA+ community feel like they truly belong and that they have access to the same opportunities as everyone else. Now, as allies, I'd like to end by opening up our minds to some of these terms, some things that we might need to learn so that we can accurately refer to someone from the LGBTQIA+ community. And this is a small but important step in diversity, inclusion, and belonging. Now, let's have a small lesson in the acronym LGBTQIA+. What do these letters stand for? Well, let's start with the LGB, that's lesbian, gay, and bisexual. Now, lesbian, of course, refers to a woman who is romantically, physically, emotionally attracted to another woman. Gay describes people who are physically, romantically, emotionally attracted to people of the same sex. Sometimes lesbians prefer to be called gay and sometimes not. Then we have bisexual, which is a person who can form enduring physical, romantic, emotional connections to those of the same gender or more than one gender. Then we come to the TQIA, that stands for transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual. And sometimes the Q can also stand for questioning, which describes someone who is questioning their sexual orientation or gender identity. But something very important to understand is the plus. Now, the plus is used to signify all the gender identities and orientations that letters and words cannot fully describe yet, because human beings are complex and there's still a lot of discoveries to be made. But the most important thing to do, especially in our corporate context, is to ask and find out from the person you're speaking with how they would like to be referred. What are their personal pronouns. These are some crucial steps we can take to ensure that we are truly practicing our EDINB charter both within the organization and outside as well.
You're listening to the Randstad India Talent Pod, where fun meets work.
This has been an amazing start to the second edition of Randstad India Talent Pod. It's only going to get more and more eye-opening. I can't wait to have some very interesting conversations with some super cool guests we have lined up. So make sure to keep an eye out for the next episodes. Or should I say, an ear out. I'll catch you soon enough. Until then, it's me, Neerja, signing off. Bye-bye.
This is the Randstad India Talent Pod, leading the human forward way.